if it's me and yoking myself from him, I'll be led by my mind and not by the spirit. I'll be led by my flesh, because my flesh is weak. It needs to be constrained. I cannot do that on my own. If I could do that on my own, I wouldn't need a savior. I need his presence and his power in my life to be yoked to him, so my flesh will do as it needs to do under the obedience of the spirit. Amen. The more you're yoked to him and the more you become arrested by the spirit, the more liberty you will actually experience. It is the opposite to what you think. Amen. The things of the kingdom of God are actually opposite to the mindset of the flesh. So stay close to him. Refuse to be released by a thing called liberty. Stay close to him. He will require of you. And just like the two oxen, he will turn you into directions you might not want to go. But he will lead you in that. Amen. Stay yoked to the Spirit. Because in the yoke of the Spirit, there's life. Are you hearing me this morning? So being apprehended by God is actually a freedom. It is, David. It's a freedom. Paul was a man who went to cities and turned them upside down. They spoke of him as the man who turned the whole world upside down. So moved was he by the presence of what Jesus had done in his life that he counted everything else but dung. I'm allowed to say that word, rubbish. New King James will say rubbish, Old King James will say dung, right? Waste, Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee of the Pharisees, sitting under the feet of Gamaliel, learned of the law, but he counted it as that, all the status, all the privileges, what went with the status, everything he counted was dung, that I might know him, that he might just know him. And I'm thinking, Paul, you've just wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You do know him. But there was more. He knew there was more. He wasn't going to be sitting on his laurels and his morals. He knew there was more that he could experience in his God, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his. We don't like to talk about that part of God or that part of Jesus. But there will be a suffering in the fellowship of the Spirit if I'm truly yoked to him. That suffering might be yieldedness. It might be submission. It might be bowing your knee to his will and not your will. But if you allow yourself to be apprehended, there is life. Amen. In Acts chapter 17 and 6, it says, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. God wants to use you to affect your world. Who believes that this morning? Who believes that they've got breath on this earth to do something? Or are you just filling space? To turn your world upside down through the power of a transformed life, Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas literally means the son of encouragement. In fact, a better translation literally means this, sons of the prophet. He would prophesy. He would speak edification, exhortation. He would edify. He was the one that took the risk to take Paul to the apostles in Jerusalem. He's the one that would reach out when no one else would reach out. When everyone else was hiding from him, he went forward. He's a son of consolation. He's a son of encouragement. And sometimes we've got to take risks sometimes in life where we can reach out to someone, believe God for someone, and then walk with them until they come into that place in the things of the Spirit. Paul and Barnabas were creating havoc by a power of a transformed life. Who believes Paul was transformed on the Damascus Road? Has anyone here not been born again? Is everyone here born again this morning? You have the power of a transformed life in you. There's a Spirit of God that is within you that will bring a change in your life. He will not leave you the same. He will take you from a glory to a glory. He'll bring you to a place of holiness and separation to Him. And I know holiness seems to be, in this day and hour we're living in, not so much a popular word. But without it, you will not see Him. We need to be a people of separation. We need to be that people that are apprehended by the Spirit to separate it unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who believes that? Can I have an amen? So the power of change, of a changed life, there's a power in a changed life. People see a changed life. They see what you might have done or what everyone else is doing, and you restrain or you are restrained by the Spirit not to do that. We cannot afford to be like the world. You cannot win the world with the world's methodology. You have to be of a man or a woman of a different spirit. People saw something in Paul and Barnabas, a fire, an unnatural fire of conviction. It wasn't a worldly fire. It wasn't just being enthusiastic. It wasn't just being having an experience. There was something burning within them that nothing of this world could put out. A prison couldn't put it out. Five times being lashed couldn't put it out. Two shipwrecks couldn't put it out. Nothing that the world threw at him could put out this fire that was within him, that he had to get to a place where he had to get people to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was something that was burning. When Jesus was walking on the Emmaus Road, two men got next to him walking, and he was telling them all about the good things of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, all the things about what God was doing and everything else. And something was ignited in their hearts, and it was a fire. Amen. And I really believe we need that fire afresh. We need the fire afresh. But you can't light a fire where there is no oil. The vessel has to be full of oil. We have to draw from Him to get our vessels full of oil that He can ignite again that wick, so we can be that light that He can set upon a table that the world might see the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Every lamp was lit to the ten, every lamp was lit, but every one of them had to trim the wick. How do I know they were once lit? They had to trim the wick. You don't trim a new wick. You only trim a wick that's gone crusty and hard, and it won't ignite, and you've got to cut it back. If that branch doesn't bear fruit, what does he do? He cuts it back. Glory to God. Welcome to the refining process of the Spirit. Because exactly what he'll do in my life. He will not let me waste time. He will cause me to face what I need to face, to bring change, what I need to bring change to see his glory in your life. Amen. So often we forget, and we're so concentrated on our inheritance in the Lord. But Ephesians tells me it's his inheritance in you. His inheritance. He has placed a down payment in your life and my life called the presence of the Holy Ghost. He is my down payment. He has an inheritance in you. He has a vested interest in you. He has made something happen in your life and given you something, and he expects a return. God doesn't invest to get no return. Hallelujah. People saw something in Paul and Barnabas that begs the question, what do they see in me? What do they see in me? Paul lived a life that is moved by conviction and purpose for that which he was apprehended for. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 says this: not that I've already attained or already perfected, matured, but I follow after. The New King James says, I press toward, I press on. And that word press literally means to be in pursuit of. You've got to be in pursuit of him. And there's so many things in life that are trying to be in pursuit of you and your time. More so than in my era, in my day. More so now than ever before. The thing that people see more value in their things is your time. I've got to make time to pursue him. through this, through his presence, through sitting, through prayer, through meditating on him, through waiting on him. I've got to pursue him. It doesn't just come to me. The anointing will cost you something. The anointing will cost you something. Ask the olive what it has to do to give up the oil. It will be crushed. It will cost you something to get more of the oil flowing in your life and my life. Amen? Not as though I've already attained or either already perfect, but I follow after. King James says, I press on that I might apprehend that. I may apprehend that, arrest, lay hold of, seize that for which I've been apprehended of Jesus Christ. I might apprehend that which he has apprehended me for. I might apprehend that. What's that? I might apprehend that. I might apprehend the purpose he's placed on my life. I might apprehend the call of God that he's placed on my life to change my world. He hasn't placed you where you are just to be happy and clappy and breathe air, then grow up and have children, then get older, then pass away. He wants you to be effective in your world. He wants you to change your world. Atmospheres change. People change. Families changed. Friends are changed. He wants to change your world. And he wants to use you and I. Amen? Sometimes we don't like to think that we should change our world, because sometimes our world isn't the best world there is. Oh, there's offense in my world. Oh, there's unforgiveness in my world. Oh, there's rejection in my world. And that stuff affects me. That keeps me silent in my world. Hello. I believe it's in Acts 15. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, the prophetic voice, took a hold of Paul. They worked together closely, best mates, approximately 10 years. Then this little evangelist, this little upstart called John Mark, wants to join the crew. Paul gets indignant. He says, not him. He left us. I don't want him. Kick him out. The problem was, John Mark's Barnabas's cousin. Family. So heated was the contention that they split. I don't believe that was the Lord's will. But so heated was the contention over family stuff. They split. In fact, the old King James would say sharp contention. It wasn't like this pious sort of stuff. Well, I don't quite agree with that, brother. And I don't want him. Oh, I think it was more like this. I'm not taking him. Who do you think you are? I think it was sharp. I can just imagine two men in a real argument. John Mark. So they left. One takes John, the other one takes Silas. But sometimes family stuff can break things. Yet he still wants me to be the light to the world. There's a man in the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, chapter 1. His name was Barsabbas. Two men, actually, one called Matthias and one called Barsabbas. Before even the Holy Ghost fell and after Jesus had ascended, they had to choose one who would take Judas' spot. Everyone know the story? Judas' spot. Both men of God. I mean, to be picked. I mean, come on. I mean, you're in that room, 120 of you, and all of a sudden your name's called out. And, well, you know, you'd be in that place, wouldn't you? Matthias gets picked. Barsabbas doesn't get picked. Did he throw a tantrum and leave? Did he get on his high horse and say, "You drew straws to determine my future"? Did he go off his tree? No, he didn't. Chapter 15, you'll see Barsabbas mentioned three times. He didn't allow opinion, or he didn't allow other stuff to cloud his love for Jesus. He didn't allow straws, and he could have felt rejection. I mean, can you imagine them straws getting picked and all of a sudden in front of all them people, you're not it. Everyone's patting Matthias on the back. Oh, that's it. You're God's man for the hour. And there's old Barabbas sitting in the corner. He could have suffered rejection. He could have suffered self-pity. He could have suffered injustice. But he picked himself up. See, because if you're strong in your conviction in the love of Jesus, you can actually allow those things to ride. It's when you get so hurt with pain because of your own insecurity. And most rejection is from the root of your own insecurity. Even though the person's done it, for an offense to occur, one has to pick it up. So therefore, there's a choice to pick it up or not to pick it up. But if I choose to pick it up, it's usually because I've felt the offense or insecurity in an area in my life that I'm not strong enough to say, I'm better than that. He thinks better of me than that. And his love is greater for me than that. Amen? So here was Paul and Barnabas in a situation where Paul got ticked off, told them they were happening. John Mark goes off with Barnabas. Paul goes off with Silas, and they go their own way. Families can have an infection in your life and stop you trying to infect the world that they're in. But am I going to take offense? Am I going to allow that to occur to me? Am I going to allow their words to stop me? Or am I going to be like a Barsabbas. I'll go on like him and keep going in the things of God. Am I going to let people's opinions affect me? Or am I going to keep going on the things of God? Am I going to allow people that ignore me? Or am I going to go on the things of God? What do I choose? I've got to get strong enough in the Lord not to allow that to occur in my spirit and keep moving in the things of God and affect my world. Let the fire keep burning, no matter what the cost. Let the fire keep burning. The only time that the fire goes out is when you allow it to go out. What you and I need to do is protect the fire within me and say, no, this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord decrees. I am what he says, not what other people think. Amen. Paul had a conviction that God had apprehended him. He was arrested, laid hold of, seized. God had plucked him out from a kingdom of darkness and translated him into his kingdom of light for a purpose that God had a vested interest in him. He actually decreed his purpose to Paul. He had deposited his Holy Spirit for a reason. And what motivated Paul more than anything else was the grace of God that was upon his life. He said things like this in the book of Hebrews, I'm the chief of sinners. But he didn't forget the grace. And one that would drag families to the Pharisees. One that stood when Paul got stoned, protected the clothing of those who stoned them. Yet God gave him such revelation. God gave him such compassion. He knew the grace of God. And it was that grace that motivated him to keep the fire burning. We've got to remember where he brought me from. I've got to remember the goodness of God, which leads me to repentance. I've got to remember what he did for me. Amen. Paul, who declares he was the chief of sinners, this grace undone Paul, undone him. To such a point, he could allow himself to be poor in spirit. Not worrying about position, title, whatever. Poor in spirit. From a Pharisee of Pharisees, from the strictest sect. Turn with me to Isaiah 66 and 2. Let's read from verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and for all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one thing will I look. Just one. On him who is poor and a contrite heart and who trembles at my word. The minute I have such assurance and see, if you haven't got assurance and confidence in the Lord, you can't stay humble. But the minute I'm assured in his word, the minute I'm assured in his love, it enables me to have a contrite heart. It enables me to be poor in spirit. I don't have to have self-promotion. I don't have to have another one to rub my back. I'm confident in my God. And Paul had this. And this is what kept his fire burning. So much so did he have it that he had to express it and share it with others. So much so was the desire to show people the love of the Father through Christ Jesus. He needed to share and show his name and declare his name. Just like him, it's us to understand and realize that it was my sin that hung him on the cross. And without him, we are nothing. And that only through his perfect love alone am I what he says I am. It's this mindset, this revelation, this absoluteness of poorness of spirit that causes me to live out an apprehended lifestyle. A restrained lifestyle by the Holy Spirit. A restrained lifestyle by the Holy Spirit, where he ushers in purity in your life and holiness, where he says to you, you don't have to do that. Don't get me wrong, God will never give you any more than you can handle. Who believes that? And when he asks you to overcome something, he would have already graced you to overcome. Amen? You don't operate out of what someone else says. You shouldn't do that. Well, that's what you think. I'll do what God says. You will operate out of the grace of God. The grace of God, he will equip you with the power and the grace to overcome what you need to overcome. If he places his finger on an issue of your life, you have the grace to do it. He'll never give me any more than I can handle. If you're not handling it, either you've listened to someone else or you're not listening to the grace of God and you're struggling with disobedience. Keep breathing, it's all right. An apprehended lifestyle is a restrained lifestyle. It turns the mourning of the depravity of sin into the mourning of a loss, a groan of pain, a conviction of what sin and its weight does and the cost of it in people's lives. There's nothing worse as a pastor when you know the truth and you're trying to express the truth to someone because of the damage that's occurring in their life and they refuse to listen to the truth. You can't make them do it. You can't make them change. But what it is, you know the weight of what sin can do because you've experienced it in your own life. You know what the damage it can do in a relationship, in a family, in a friendship. You know what it can do. So you know that you want to see them change. But unless they yield and bow their knee to Him, there'll never be a change. You can change their environment. You can change their social status. You can change their bank account. You can do all that. You can provide all that stuff. But if they don't want to change, the dog will return back to its vomit. You can rescue everyone that's poor in the world. But if they haven't got a mindset change, eventually they'll go back to poor. And it's out of this comfort of the Holy Ghost in our own personal lives that we ourselves are able to comfort another. And that's exactly Paul's gospel. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3. Blessed is the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of what? How much comfort? All comfort. Everything I need is in Him. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. How should I comfort someone? With the same comfort He's comforted me. Not my worldly wisdom. Not my counsel, my Dave Welsh. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. The comfort of the Holy Ghost. But I can't do that unless He's comforted me. We must realize that we've been apprehended by God for a reason, not a chance. It's the call of God. You have been called, you've been chosen, you've been plucked out. You've been apprehended, you've been arrested by the Spirit. It wasn't you coming to Him, He came to you. It wasn't you choosing Him, He chose you. It wasn't you being able to see, He made you see. It wasn't you that could hear, He made you hear. He chose you. Amen. And then He left a deposit in your life. He left something with you. And He will be back to get a return on His investment. Hallelujah. He chose you and called you for a reason. And it was that early church had the assurity, I don't know if I spelled that right, of His love by expressing it from a place of humility and gratitude. I don't have to prove who I am. I've just got to walk it out. I don't have to defend the gospel. I've just got to speak the gospel and let the gospel do its job. I've just got to love people. I've got to infect my world. You've been called, I've been called, everyone has been called to infect their world. Amen? And it will cost you. This world, my immediate world, my family is your world. My extended world. The lost part of my world. It should be a ripple effect through me that they might see and they might hear. Here is a person who's turned their world upside down because you've been apprehended by God. The dilemma is a lot of us break the chain, thinking we know better or want to experience another aspect, and we're not yoked to Him. To be truly apprehended means to actually be restrained. So we say things like this in the body of Christ, oh, we just want, you know, more liberty. Really what we're saying is we just want an excuse to do more in the flesh. The greatest liberty you'll ever find is in Christ. If He is the God of all comfort, I don't know about you, but my Jesus is one of the most liberated people I've ever met. He's fun to be with. I don't know how to explain. He is just great to be around. He's just really closer than a brother. And he's not afraid to tell me that I've screwed up. Sorry about that word. That I've mucked up. He's not afraid to tell me, get this right in your life. He puts up with my tantrums and smiles at me. When I'm yelling and screaming like an old chook, wanting my own way and scratching, he'll put up with it for a minute. Then he'll tell me to get right. But it doesn't change his love toward me. I've got to stay yoked to him. And more so today than ever before, the enemy wants to break you free of the chains of restraint. To experience another level of liberty in the Lord, which is not a liberty at all, it's actually captivation. Because the minute I'm given over to this, the minute I'm giving over to the old carnal mind, it's death. That's what Romans says. Amen? Stay close. Ever so close as the hour approaches. Be ready to be used. Get your jar full of the oil. Let him trim your wick. Let him ignite you afresh. I don't want to be like them five that expected the lamp to light on my yesterday's experiences. You're going to be filled every day. Book of Acts. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were filled with the Holy. It's a continuous infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life. And how do I get that? Is by getting his presence and getting to have a constant relationship with the Lord. My born-again experience cannot keep me for the rest of my life. Paul's whole desire was not self-contained or focused on oneself, but in everything he did and said was to glorify the one who had apprehended him. Everything. Everything he said and everything he did. So much so, even when he met John Mark later on. Timothy. He writes things like this, and sent to me John Mark, for he's useful for the ministry. I'm thinking, what changed? In the book of Acts, he's ripping into him, saying he's useless. He's not worth two bob. And you broke me up with my best mate, Barnabas. Then in Timothy, his beloved son of the faith, oh, get me John Mark, for he's useful now. What happened? Well, maybe, just maybe in that period of time, God got a hold of Paul and brought change and showed him grace, and he grew more in grace. And that's what God wants us to do, is grow more in grace, that love that is shed abroad in my heart can be poured out. Amen. He wants every one of us apprehended. He is no respecter of persons. If I come before him with a contrite and a broken heart, he'll fill me up. He'll fill me up. But if I come to him with an attitude of pride, it's an abomination. He wants me yoked to him more than ever before in this day. Amen. He wants to love on me, cover me, protect me. Love on me. And I on him. Jesus is not a religion. He's a relationship. He is a person. He's real. Amen. Have I been apprehended by Christ? Or am I saying, Lord, set me free? Glory to God. My prayer is that we all come to that place where I say, Lord, less of me, more of you. That I might decrease and you might increase. And even that has to be a work of God. You can't do it. But I can invite him into it and he'll bring the changes required in my life that he will get some glory out of you. Amen. That you touch your world in Jesus' name. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. He's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. After studying Paul's life, I realized it's not how much you know is irrelevant. It's really irrelevant to God. Because there's always more. But one thing I learned from Paul was this. He wasn't pursuing all that. He wasn't pursuing knowledge. He wasn't even pursuing to read and write another book. He was pursuing this, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Never let it leave me, the power of your cross and the power of your resurrection. And if it means I have to come into the fellowship of his suffering, so be it. I may know him. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you. We ask you to fill this vessel afresh. Help me. Help me. Help me to stay poor in spirit. Help me. Help me to bring glory to your name. Help. Help me to choose your way and not my way. Help me. Help me to lean into you and not my own understanding. Help me. Holy Spirit, I yield for you to bring change to me, that this world might behold you, that I would reflect Christ in this hour. Help me to change my world. Help me. Help me to bring healing to my world. Wholeness. Everything your Spirit has done for me. Help me to bring comfort as you have comforted me. Help me. Father, I ask you to bring the changes necessary in my life. I ask you to bring changes necessary as a husband. I ask you to bring changes necessary as a father. I ask you to bring changes necessary as a brother. Help me. That your grace will empower me. That this world might behold. And this my world might be turned upside down for your glory. Father, I thank you that we bear your mark. I thank you that you plucked me out of that darkness. I thank you that you set your love upon me. I thank you. Remind me of the comfort every day of my life. That instead of with a critical eye, I can have an eye of compassion and mercy. Help us to be those sons and daughters in this hour that will manifest your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we release anyone in our house that might have brought offense. I choose to drop it right now. I might have picked it up. I might have taken it up. I choose to drop it right now. I choose that. I let it go so we can see change in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good God who does good things, and he wants to do good things through you. It ain't going to come out of the clouds. It's going to come through you. Amen. You're his body on earth. Glory to God. God bless you. Please pray for me during the week, will you? Amen. I'm serious. Now, please pray for me. Help hold me in prayer during the week. That would be great. And I just want to be a witness to him wherever I go. God bless you. Have a good week, successful week, and have, say, for a cup of tea and cup of coffee. That would be wonderful.